Did you watch the fight last night too, or what? Everyone? No? How's everybody doing this morning? That's good. That's good. Well, I'm going to tell you, man, yesterday was a very eventful day. It was fantastic. You know, and getting ready for today and getting my message ready yesterday morning. And then we all took off, a bunch of us from the church took off and went to Sibley over on the Sleeping Giant. And that was a fantastic time. Amen. I'm pretty sure Miss Joanne has parched fish, man, because can she swim, that lady? And it was a bunch of us from the church went over. We had a fire and stuff, and the kids had a blast, and it was a great time. And then after, a bunch of us got together, and we watched a couple guys try and beat each other up. And, you know, it was an eventful night, fun night, but it was nice. And, you know, it's good to be able to let your hair down sometimes and just relax and have some fun with your friends. And, you know, you need a break every now and then. And but praise God, it was good. I feel for Mr. McGregor this morning. But still, if you lose and you win multi-millions of dollars, I think it's still a good day. Amen. And so I got to say, this is kind of a side note, but I was very impressed in one of his quotes that he had said. And I wanted to share with you guys this morning. He said, I never lose. He said, I either win or I learn. And I'm like, with an attitude like that, that's pretty impressive. And you know, looking at it from a Christian standpoint and stuff like that, it's like, you know what? We never lose. We never lose. If we go through a rough time, we're only going to learn from it, which is going to help us be stronger anyhow. And so there's no such thing as losing when you're in the kingdom of God. Amen? 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 Amen. I see we're going to have a little bit of fun this morning here. But that's okay. Well, it's funny. I have three sets of notes with me this morning. And so for the next 10 hours? No. Well, we got a few different things. We had a good time here Wednesday night, amen. We were talking about the promises of God, you know, and we got through some of the promises that I had in my notes, and there's so much more in the Bible. I really enjoyed that. I got a ton of that myself. I really enjoyed that. And then as I was preparing, I was thinking, well, I'll just continue on with the promises this morning. And, well, that kind of got changed. And so I started reading through some of my back notes of some messages I had been writing and working on and stuff like that. And I seen one that I started 2 years ago, and I looked at the date, and it was actually this time last year I started working on this thing. So I said, well, boy, I think it's time to finish that sucker off. So I started working on that one a little bit and started seeing what God was saying to me about that. And then he also revealed something else to me this morning as I got here and started reading over some notes. So I'm like, boy, this is going to be a smorgasbord or a buffet of messages. Amen. But I feel that God is wanting to do something here this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but I come to church expecting to receive from God. Every time I go to church, I come expecting. And if you come to church expecting, you're going to receive. It's just the way it goes. Amen? 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 You know, this time of year, it can be a little draining on some people after all summer. You know, we're doing the holidays, the vacations, all that stuff, and it's all coming to an end. And we're going back to reality. You know, school is starting for the kids, and all the parents said, amen? You know, all the kids say, oh my. But I am excited. This year, I think, is going to be fantastic. You know, this summertime, things kind of slow down a little bit, and then we say September is the start of church season. Amen? And so we got a lot of stuff that's coming up. You know, around here at church, we got the Faith Conference. That's going to be a fantastic week. I don't know about you, man, but I am excited for that. You know, the devil's already trying to put up opposition, but he's nothing but a dirty liar anyhow. And so greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So that means it's going to be a fantastic time. And then shortly after that, we're going to have the Spirit Alive weekend, again, showcasing the wonderful television ministry that we have that comes out of here that touches thousands of people every week all around this nation and all around the world as well. Amen. Right here from Thunder Bay, we're touching lives. Why? Because God is so awesome. Amen. And then we got a few kids things coming up. We got Trunk or Treat happening, which is a great outreach for the community and for all the kids. And, you know, start thinking about these things and start praying about these things. This is church season. Amen? But the reality is it's always church season. You know, some of us hunters in here, we got certain seasons that we get, you know. Deer season is right around the corner. Amen, Chris? No. Amen? Yep. I'm a part of PETA, people eating tasty animals. I'm a hunter and a fisher. You know, I'm a fisher, but I like to hunt and fish, and Chris does too. I'm sure a lot of other guys in here like to do that type of stuff. But I am excited because there's a time and a season for stuff. And I believe that this is a time and a season for us to get back on track with God. Amen? It's time to get back on track. Like I had said earlier, school is coming around. You know, there's a lot of different things coming back up, kind of getting back into that routine. You know, it's the honeymoon of summer is kind of over now. Holidays is dwindling. Time to get back at her. But praise God, God is with us. And God is going to give us what we need so that we're able to do what He wants us to do. Are you listening to me this morning? That's good. I feel that this season right now, and even in me, there's a bit of a transition happening. I feel that we're being transitioned to something different, which is fantastic. And, you know, we even talked about with Robbie on Wednesday, and there's things happening there at Teen Challenge that's changed. And different people in here we've talked, and there's different things happening, you know. Like I said, there might be new jobs, might be going to a new school, college, university. You might be getting involved in a new ministry. New relationships, hallelujah. You know, the list goes on. There's all types of things that is changing. But no matter what happens, we have to make sure that God is in the midst of what we do. Amen. You see, it's so easy to get caught up in life and things that we forget about God. You know? And well, what is the purpose of all this if there is no God? If we don't allow God to move through us, well, then we're doing it on our own. And then what usually happens when we do things on our own? We fall flat. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I proved that myself, that when you try and do things on your own, it just does not work. Amen? When you try and run from God, you go to the far ends of the earth to get away and try and get away from God. But that's, He'll always get a hold of you. Amen. Amen? For heaven's sakes, I ended up in the Arctic and God still spoke to me up there. All right? It's a bad place to hide when you're like the only one standing in the middle of ice. You know, it's like, you know, He'll find you. But God always wants us to be doing and acting to the best of our abilities that He wants us to do. You see, I say this all the time. Every time I speak, I say, but God created us to be extraordinary. God created us to be, you know, full of life and full of energy. God created us to be doing things. We're not ordinary people. Amen? Our ordinary should be extraordinary. Making sense here this morning? Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 28, verse 7 and 8. Psalms chapter 28, verse 7 and 8, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation of His anointed one." Isn't it so good that we have that assurance in Christ? Isn't it so exciting that we have that, you know, that safe refuge that we can run into? And that's one of the promises of God. Oh, we're tying that in now. You see, God told us that He would never leave us nor forsake us, okay? So, when we feel like we're separated from God, it's not because God took a stroll and left us. It's because we took a stroll and we left Him. See, a lot of times God gets blamed for things that He has nothing to do with. God, where are you? God is not missing. You'll never see God's picture on a milk carton. It's as simple as that. He always was, always is, and always will be. And so He's here right now. He's with you when you go home. When you're driving in your car, He's right there. Some of you, He needs to be driving your car. But anyway, that's a side note. That's a side note. Thunder Bay drivers. Oh my goodness. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. You see, when we're going through life, we are going to face trials and tribulations, and we're going to go through things. And you know what? Even this time of year, you know, it's kind of easy to kind of put our relationship with God on the back burner. We're in that vacation mode. But you see, vacation mode is that means you just take a vacation and a break from, you know, your regular everyday life type stuff, but not a vacation from God. A lot of times when people take a vacation, they just take a vacation from everything, shut everything down. Well, come on now, because now you're setting yourself up. You're actually losing momentum on what God was doing in your life when you do those things. And I'm very guilty of doing this, okay? Because it's so easy to shut down and completely shut everything out, and you start missing out on what God's got in store for your life. You see, we do more damage to ourselves physically, spiritually, mentally, than anyone else can, because we're the ones, we control A lot. God's give us a free will to do what we wanted to do. It's up to us on how we want to handle these situations and on how we, you know, we handle life. Like I said, God is always there. We just pull away from Him. But this scripture verse is so encouraging, knowing that the Lord is my strength and my shield. Even though we pull ourselves away, God is still standing there. God is still solid. No matter what the situation is, we can always rely and trust and know that God will always be there. So you're going through that situation in your life right now. You got those problems in your life right now. Okay, so what are you doing about it? Are you glorifying the enemy more than what you're glorifying God? Are you stuck into that pity party, oh, woe is me? We shouldn't be doing that. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. When we trust in the Lord is doing, we're saying, God, this situation is yours. When we trust in Him, we're saying, Father, I'm not handling this. I can't do this on my own. And He's like, all right, I got this. I got this. I was waiting for you to give it to me because it's already been taken care of. It's already been done. So just rely on me, fully trust in me. Use that little thing called faith that we talk about in here sometimes. And you'd be surprised on how things in certain circumstances and crises and issues change in your life. I've seen this with my own eyes. I've witnessed it in my own life. I've seen God taking a bad situation and turn it into something fantastic. On my own strength and my own power, my own will, I can't do that. It's impossible. Isaiah 12:2. It says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. It's so easy for us to be afraid of different things. It's so easy for us to get into, you know, being nervous of life. Being scared of different situations. Scared of people. But here's the thing, let me tell you something. For some of us now, we're going into a new season, a new time, new thing. And it can be a scary moment. It can be. We can have issues, you know, you might have issues with this. Believe it or not, I'm not a big fan of change. I like things that kind of tend to stay the same. Anybody else in here like that? Yeah. Not a huge fan of change? Change is good sometimes, but not all the time for me. And so it's a big stretch for me when things have to change. Okay? Believe it or not. I know. Like, Pastor G, what are you talking about? No, seriously. For me, there's certain things. I like a routine. I like knowing that something's going to be solid. Something's going to be there. You know, old faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, the Lord is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. It's really hard for us to get over and hand things over to God sometimes. Because we tend to think that we can handle it and figure it out on our own. Hey? You ever try and do that? Mr. Fix-It? How many people try to be like Mr. Fix-It in here and try and fix situations, and it's not necessarily worked out? Yeah. Yeah. And so after so many times of trying to be, you know it all and try and fix everything, I realized that I'm no further ahead, you know, that I need help. And that I need to know somebody that knows more than what I do. Amen. I need to know that I got someone that I can run to and who can speak into me and that will show me and guide me. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so He's my salvation. Thank God I'm born again. The Lord is my salvation. He saved me. He changed my life. I'm no longer the same person that I used to be. I'm a different person. I'm a new creature in Christ. Scripture tells me that. It's a simple thing that took place. I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus. And I was only a little kid. I was 6 years old. I knelt down to my bed. And I actually looked at my mama and I said, Mama, I said, I want to pray to God. She said, okay. She said, what do you want to do? She said, I want to pray that prayer. She said, what prayer? That one about getting saved. And so I remember I knelt down and I prayed that with my mama. I was only about 6 years old. But now, did I live a good, solid Christian life right up through? No, definitely not. You know, I definitely was a special child. What are y'all laughing at? You've all been in the same boat. But praise God that He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And that God does some awesome things in our lives. And He takes it and He changes our lives around. And even though, like I had said, I ended up way up in the Arctic, you know, God still spoke to me. And even though I was not necessarily on the path that He wanted me to be, He never ever gave up on me. He never gave up on me, even though I was kind of running away from Him and trying to stay away from Him as much as possible. He never gave up on me. And so that kind of gets me thinking a little bit. Because then I started, as I was preparing for this and pondering, I was like, how many times have I given up on God? How many times myself have I done something and it's kind of like slapping God? Like, that's sad. Because here's this guy, the creator of the universe, the guy that created absolutely everything. He sent his son, according to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He sent that guy, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, for my sin and my sickness, so that I could have a life and have a life more abundant. And so it's just like, wow, what have I done? Why am I acting that way? And so it started thinking, you know what, I need to do better. In Bible school, I teach a class, Righteousness. We have a lot of fun in that class. And there's a section in there that we talk about is righteousness versus holiness. And so, you know, we look at our life sometimes as like, man, it can be hard to live a holy life. It can be. But our holiness, the way that we live our lives, the way that we conduct ourselves, need to be a response to what Jesus did. Holiness is a response to righteousness. So what does that mean? You see, guys, when we're... God created us in his image and in His likeness. And then when Jesus died on the cross, you know, God brought man back to Himself in a sense that we can have a relationship, an open relationship with Him. It wasn't through the sacrifice of animals or through somebody at the temple or anything of the sort. But we could talk to God, we could commune with God, that we could have that personal relationship that Adam and Eve had with God back in the garden. And because we were made the righteousness of God in Christ, righteousness means right standing with God. So we're put right back in right standing. We are where we're supposed to be. Amen? We're in the place where we're supposed to be right now. Now, even though we don't deserve it, because Scripture tells us that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. Now, I got a nice garage, and I work on tinkering around with stuff, and I got a lot of dirty rags. And you know what I do with dirty rags? I throw them out. And so Scripture tells me that my own righteousness is the same as filthy rags. So boy, you know, you got to think about that for a second. Well, that's not very good. If I'm trying to do things on my own, yeah, you might be a good person. That's fine. But unless you got a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and you've drawn yourself back onto Him and you're doing what He's called you to do. You see, sometimes we think that we can only pick out bits and pieces of this Christian walk. It's not the call of the full gospel for nothing. You see, we're supposed to be all working together. We're all supposed to be doing something. Every joint supply. It's like a big engine. Every one of us got a special part that we got to play, a special role that we do. The kingdom of God can't do what we're supposed to be doing if you're not doing it. You think about that responsibility, what we're called to do, what we're supposed to be doing. So back up to this righteousness and holiness thing. So we are right standing with God because God sent Jesus to die on the cross. And because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice and took away our sin and our sickness. Come on now, you hearing me? Because He took our sin and our sickness, we are now created as a new creature in Him. So now, does that mean that, oh, once you get born again, that's it? Everything in your life, you know, if you were addicted to drugs or smoking or drinking problems, it's all disappeared? Well, not necessarily. Sometimes it takes a while for that stuff to subside, to go. It takes work, right? But see, that means you got to do something, right? And so what God did for you, your life needs to be a reflection and a response to that. Amen? Amen. And so with this, what I'm talking about here, guys, is that back to reality is the fact that our lives need to be a reflection of what Jesus and what God did for us. Amen. So this morning, we'll just kind of examine yourself for a second. Think about it. Is my life a reflection? We just had that crazy solar eclipse thing that took place here. You know? That was pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. I was one of those crazy guys standing outside and I had my welding helmet on. You know, watching the sun go across, or the moon go across the sun. That was pretty cool. You know? And you could see the reflection. And that's all we were seeing. We were seeing the reflection of the moon going across the sun, making a difference. What type of difference are you? Are you eclipsing? Think about it. Are you eclipsing? Are you making that type of impact that is actually changing a full area? Is your life such a response to what Jesus has called you to do, what the Lord has called you to do, that is actually creating a difference? Oh! I'm preaching to myself here this morning, guys. So, in all this that we're talking about here, we need to realize that God is still always with us, even though we pull away. But now we need to exercise. We really need to exercise our spiritual muscles here. So, in response to this holiness, righteousness bit, we need to be exercising our spiritual muscles and growing our holiness walk. Now, I'm not talking about going around and, you know, you dress in a certain way or, you know, eating certain things all the time or just, you know what I'm talking about here. But I'm talking about a life that reflects what Jesus did in you. How many people in here are born again? How many people in here love Jesus? You belong to God. That's good. Now, you see, there's a bunch of eclipses in here. That's exciting. Because wherever God is, things change. And if God lives on the inside of us, come on. If God is on the inside of us, well, then we're supposed to be a reflection of what He is. Amen? And that wherever we go, people see the difference. So how can we strengthen ourselves and get ourselves back to reality and back to the things that God's called us to do? Well, the first point I want to get to here is to have a strong commitment with the Lord. And that's not a sometime relationship, that's an all-the-time relationship. Amen. And sometimes we like we've been already touched on a little bit this morning, is that, you know, it's we kind of put our relationship with God kind of in one of those once-in-a-while type things. I'm a sometime Christian. Guilty. I'm guilty. Anybody else guilty of doing that? You know, kind of not always living to your fullest potential? You're not always walking in the fullness? Yeah, definitely. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and His power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Well, we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. We need to have a strong commitment to the Lord. So how can we have a strong commitment with the Lord? Well, I got lots of points here this morning. I do apologize. But prayer is super important. How can you have a relationship without communication? Myself and Kendra, we just celebrated a month ago our 10th anniversary. I know, right? Someone put off with me that long, it's a miracle. We just celebrate our 10th year anniversary. And you know what's key to any relationship? Communication. You got to talk. You know? And you got to, if there's something bugging you, you got to talk about it. You don't let stuff build up, you know? You got to have open communication between the two. If not, man, you build up. It's like a pressure cooker. And then once it gets too much pressure, and too much whatever, something's going to blow. you know? And a lot of times that's what ends up happening. So for us, if we got a relationship with the Lord, if we don't talk to Him and cast our cares upon the Lord, Scripture says because He cares for us, well, then what's going to happen to us? We're just going to fill up and fill up and fill up, and all of a sudden we're just going to go, you know? There's going to be bits and pieces of you all over. Your life's going to be all over the place. Really? Because we're not talking to God. God wants to help us. The solution to our problem is the Lord. No matter what the situation is, God's already got it covered. We just have to pass it to Him. Are you hearing me this morning? Communication is key. Talk to the Lord in prayer. Pastor Roma does a fantastic teaching on prayer, and he talks about the different kinds of prayer. You can talk to the Lord, and it don't have to be some big drawn-out thing. That's right. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, ruler of heaven and earth. You know, you just go on for 5 minutes and you get the introductions out. But no, Father God, man, I got this situation right now, and you see what's happening in my life, but I know that you are with me no matter what's happening. And so, Father, I just thank you right now that I'm going to get through this and that you've got my back. Something simple. You don't have to be getting down and you know, pacing the floor till you got the carpet roll out, you know, wore out, and got the knees in your pants wore out, and you know, you've cried and snotted that much that they got to reopen another paper mill to make tissues, you know? That's just not the way it is. You see, God hears our prayer. Scripture tells us that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. How many righteous people do we have in here this morning? So when you pray, God hears you, and He does something. Amen? Woo! Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's awesome, because I don't know everything, but God does. And so when I'm in the time of need or in the time of trouble, when I need something, a prayer answered, I'm going to talk to God. When I need an issue taken care of, I'm going to talk to God. Why? Because He's going to take care of me. He's going to look after me. It says right there in Scripture, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. There's a lot I don't know. But hallelujah, He does. When I don't know how to handle myself, He does. When I don't know how to talk to my wife about something, He does. Come on now. When I don't know how to handle a certain situation that's come up, a certain trial, a certain tribulation, something, an issue that shouldn't be there. When I don't know how to deal with that, guess what? He does. Because He's already got it done and taken care of. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach myself happy. Any relationship needs communication, and it goes both ways. It goes both ways. Because there's another thing. A lot of times, we're praying to God, 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 praying to God. And God's up there in heaven is like, would you just be quiet for a minute so I can give you what you're asking for? You know? He's like, God, you're constantly praying. And He's like, oh, let me speak. I'm guilty of that too. This is why it's important for us to learn how to pray. It's important for us to learn about these Bible principles. Amen? Amen. This is good. Have faith in God. Another way to have a strong commitment with the Lord is you've got to have faith in Him. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever saith to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and guess what? You will have them. Hallelujah! So communication is key here. Communication is very important here. But then, hey, we're supposed to have this strong commitment with the Lord. So if we're men and women of faith, well, then we need to have that commitment, that solid commitment, that when we speak to the Lord, come on now, We know that He hears us and that He's going to do something about it. When you believe, you receive them. Well, Pastor Steve, I've been praying for this for a while. Okay, well, check yourself. First of all, how are you praying it? Playing it with the right heart? Does it line up with the Word of God? Because if you're praying for someone else's wife to be your wife, that's not right. Amen? If you're praying for the Montreal Canadiens, well, I don't know. Oh, sorry, Jerry. Sorry, Jerry. Too soon still? Don't have to pray for them. Oh, they're on a league all by themselves, eh? Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Before you even got it, you believe. You see it. One of the preachers that I like to listen to, Pastor Scott Webb. I'm sure some of you are familiar with Pastor Scott Webb. And he told a story when he was preaching. He talked about how he wanted this truck. And every morning he'd get out in his driveway and he'd walk around the spot where he would park this truck. And he would walk around it. And there was nothing there. He never had a truck. It was just an empty spot in his parking lot. He'd walk around it and he'd look at it. He'd say, man, I got a nice truck. See, he'd go over and he'd kick the tires. Man, it's a nice truck. He'd go, and every now and then he'd pretend he was polishing it. Okay? Every now and then he'd be here wiping her down. His neighbors would be even there and staring at him. And his neighbors would be like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm checking out my truck. And they're like, what is wrong with you? You know, like, what? What? But he kept confessing that and believing that till one day, it came to pass. He kept believing for a truck, and he got a truck. Amen? You might say, well, that's a material thing. Yeah, it is a material thing. But you see, when you ask and you believe, you see, God had a purpose for him to have that. Because God loved him. God don't want our kids to go without. I got three kids. And my children, they don't go without. They have stuff. And they know it's dad's a little easier than mom. Okay? And so a lot of times, they just bypass mom altogether and say, Dad, can we have this? And Dad's a softie because I love my children. Okay? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I'll go get something. The kid's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to get this for the kids. What? I love my kids. She's like, you're crazy. Yeah. But see, the kids know that Dad's going to bless them. Dad's going to look after them. Dad's, you know, and same thing with Mama. But they know that Dad is there. It's like for us, we run to God. God's going to supply for us. He's going to look after us. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is stand on His Word and believe what He's saying to us. Amen? So if you're standing, if you're in this place right now, and you're believing God for something, financial issues, or if it's, you know, something to do with a relationship or health-wise or anything of the sort, this is what you got to do right here. You got to have that tight relationship with the Father. Your life needs to be a reflection of what he's done for you. And that you need to stand and believe. You believe and you receive. Wow. Wow. Another thing that we need to do to grow our spiritual muscles and get on track with God is follow the call. You know that each and every one of us have a call of God on our lives to do something? We were not called to be bench warmers. We were not called to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. Amen? We have been called to get into the game, to get in the boxing ring, put on the gloves, and go a few rounds. Because it's called the good fight of faith. Oh, man, I thought this faith thing was going to be easy. Said who? The two guys last night, man, when the 10th round rolled around, they were tired. One guy was especially tired. But they were exhausted to the point that they couldn't even get their arms up anymore. Just kind of, you know, just kind of moving their body around so they could get their arm up a little bit, you know? And this is what was happening. You see, we have to follow that call. God has a specific place for each and every one of us. And sometimes it takes a little while for us to try and figure it out, when all we got to do is ask God, and He'll slowly direct our paths. We talked about that on Wednesday, on how God will give us guidance.
Hallelujah.
On how God will direct our path and show us where we need to go and how we need to get there. Now, He's not going to show you the full picture. Where's the fun in that? But God will direct your steps. I'm reminded about the children of Israel when they were in the desert and they were walking around. They were getting led out of Egypt. But God led them in the desert for 40 years. That's a long walk. But He led them. Big pillar of smoke and a big pillar of fire. So they know where to go. And that's pretty cool. You see, God will use different things to be your pillar of smoke and your pillar of fire in your life to show you and guide you. Amen? He'll use people. He'll speak to you through His Word. He'll show you. When you least expect it, He'll show you another step of the path. When you least expect it. And you'll discover things that you're capable of doing that you never thought you could. I'm telling you, man, I'm living proof. I didn't know I could be up here speaking in front of people. I didn't like speaking to... I don't even like people that much. And here... I like animals. No. I like eating tasty animals. PETA, okay? Anyway. But God will guide your steps. He will show you where you need to go. He will take you places you never thought possible. You'll do things that you never thought... And as you're on this journey, another step, you know, another victory, there is going to be trouble, there is going to be situations, but God will show you on how to get through that. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but He will do it. He will show you. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts and how we are members of the body of Christ and how we all work together and get the job done. We have a call. 1 Samuel 3, we see young Samuel and Eli. And God was calling to Samuel. And He called him three times. And God had a message for Eli to tell him. But He chose this young boy to deliver the message. The boy had a calling from God to go deliver this message. And he was in the temple. He had a job to do. Right from a very young age, he had a job to do. Our children, they have a call of God on their lives to do something right now. God spoke to young Samuel and told him a message to give to Eli. That was his job. Is God speaking to you and telling you you have something to do? A lot of times we're too busy like this. I don't want to listen to this, God. You might get me to do something that I don't want to do. Suck it up, buttercup. Because God's going to take you out of your comfort zone. Amen? And like I said, you're going to do things you never thought possible. I've been stretched in so many ways now. I feel like that, remember that toy you used to have, Stretch Armstrong? You'd be able to pull on him and he'd go like, I feel like Stretch Armstrong sometimes. And when you think you can't stretch anymore, all of a sudden, you go another bit. Anybody else feel like that on times? Well, that's good because that's the grace of God on your life. God will stretch you, but it's all a part of the learning process, man, and growing up spiritually. It's all a part of seeing and being a part of this awesome life that God has set before us. Moses had a calling of God on his life. It wasn't by mistake or by accident that young Moses was saved by Pharaoh's daughter. And look what he did. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had a calling from God. Look what she did. She gave birth to the Savior of the world. Amen? She was only a young teenage girl. David had a calling from God. He started off by being a giant slayer. Actually, even before that, he protected his father's flock. Scripture talks about on how he defeated a lion and a bear. How many young teenage boys have you seen defeat a lion and a bear lately? God was setting David up back then, giving him the tools and the equipment and the experience that he needed as a young boy to go do some mighty things. You see, you know what? You might say, well, why am I going through this? Why am I doing this right now? Why is my life like this? You're getting training. Because in order to have a testimony, there has to be a test. Yeah. Right? In order to have a victory, there has to be a battle. Yeah. Right? That's the only way it works. No pain, no gain. This good? You guys getting anything out of this morning?
Yeah.
And look what David did. He defeated the giant. He became best friends with Saul's boy, Jonathan. Now, he ran into some major issues with Saul himself, but he eventually became king because he's obedient. He was obedient. And even though he was obedient, he still made lots of mistakes. What he was doing on the roof, staring at people taking baths in the middle of the night, I don't know. I think someone needs to get a hobby of not watching people. But that situation still turned around. What else we got here? Paul had a calling from God. The Christian killer to the Christian getter. Man, Paul had this call of God on his life, and he was one of those dudes. We first see Paul, and his name wasn't even Paul, it was young Saul. And he was actually there the day that Stephen got stoned. You know what he was? He was the coat check for him. Scripture says that he was holding the cloaks of all those guys that were there. Here, hold my coat. I'm going to throw a rock at a guy, you know? But he was there. He despised those Christians that were following the way. He had it set up so that they would get arrested. He tore families apart. And on that road to Damascus, when the Lord showed up and spoke to him, his life was drastically changed. Because his zealousy and his hatred and whatever he had towards Christians was instantly changed completely. 180 degrees, he made a complete change. Turned them right around. And then that hatred turned into love. And turned into a desire to do something for God and go teach. And he changed your life. Because we wouldn't have the New Testament the same way we do today if it wasn't for Paul being obedient. And for that change. He had a massive call on his life. How many Pauls we got in here? Ooh. Well, there's a Paul Giles here somewhere. Where do you go? Oh. And you know what all these people had in common? They all followed the call. Another step that we should be taking, growing our muscles, is that we need to get connected. A lot of times, it's easy to get disconnected. A lot of times, it's, you know, when you get a part of a local church. I'm talking about getting connected here at the local church and getting connected up with the Father. Because you can't really have one without the other and have a successful Christian life. Well, what are you talking about? It is important for us to connect up with other believers to get a strong start because we have support, a family who's there to help us out, and people there to push you when you need a good pushing. Amen? They're going to help you get out of your comfort zone and get growing. In Acts 4:23, there's a scripture in there, and it talks about on how, you know, they went back to their own company. Well, we have to go back to our own company. What does that mean? It does not mean you worked for Walmart or something of the sort. You go back to the people that are like-minded like you. You see, iron sharpens iron, Scripture says. And so when you're around like-minded people, you build each other up. So when you come to church, this is when you come and you get that little extra power boost so it'll help you out through the week. Because, you know, we should be doing our own study and stuff on our own time. You know, if we only come to church and this is the only time we get fed the Word, well, then we're cutting ourselves short on what God wants to say to us. Amen? We need to have that personal time. We need to get connected up with the Father. And that's all part of that point that we already talked about. Communication. Come on now. We have to pray. We have to talk. And so, going back to our own company, that means we get together in church. We come together on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday morning. Or that we do, you know, fellowship together. Yesterday, when we went over to Sibley, it was awesome to hang out with like-minded Christians. People, you know, it was different when you're watching the fight, even, and being around with people, you know? Praying in tongues over the fighters. Like, come on now, you know? It's all those fun things. But see, that's going back to your own company with like-minded people. I've gone to parties and I've gone to places and I've done things with people that are not like-minded. And it affects me. It affects you. When you're around that for a while, you start noticing that you're thinking a different way. You're speaking a different way. You know, they're influencing you. But when you're around those people that are like-minded and that has a desire to see God and a desire to do things for God, come on now. Things start changing. You guys start building each other up. You get connected up. Lives are changed and transformed just by something so simple. Wow, that's cool. Amen? Amen. Being a part of a family just isn't sitting back and let everybody else do the work. In our household, and my house, we all have chores and things that we're supposed to be doing. All the kids take part. When Monday morning rolls around in our house, this summer, that's cleaning day in our house. And it's funny because Benjamin's thing he likes to do is actually scrub the toilet. I'm like, have at it, buddy. And you know what? He does a fantastic job. He gets in there, man, and he's scrubbing that thing, and he's wiping that thing down, you know? I've had to watch him a few times. He's trying to get his head in there, trying to make sure he's getting everywhere, you know? He's like, man, what a kid. Abby, she's wiping stuff down. Timmy's walking around the house with a Swiffer. You know, it's fantastic. We're even using the dog to dust off the furniture with his tail. You know, everybody does something. And a family, we all do something. In a church like this, it takes dozens of people to keep this place going. When I look around, I don't see congregation members, I see family members. And when you look around, you need to see family members. And when we come here, it should not just be left up to two or three people to carry the load. People disappear for weeks at a time. Come on now. We all have a load that we need to carry. We all have something that we can be doing. Don't tell me that you can't be doing nothing here in this church. You know how many ministries are here? You know how many areas that can be filled? Myself and Kendra, it's funny, we love this place. And someone asked us, well, what do you guys do there? I said, well, we're on staff. We're pastors at the church. But I like to go by the title professional hole filler. Because wherever there's a hole, I'm willing to jump in. And that's not bragging about me. That's just the way that I'm trained. You know, and there's lots of guys around here that's like that as well. And lots of gals like that around here. And they just like to jump in and help out wherever it is. But now what if everybody jumped in? You know, wouldn't it be so much easier? You know, we got a children's ministry that needs teachers. You know, we got a music team that needs musicians. We got cameras, a television ministry here that needs help. Ushering team needs help. Greeters team needs help. Hospitality needs help. Cleaning needs help. Starting to sound like that Beatles song. Help. Need somebody help. Not just anybody. Okay, anyway, sorry. And this is not I'm not giving out a plea for help or nothing at the time of helps ministry right now, but it is important. But as a family, we see the needs. We see the struggle, and we go help each other out. I come from not a huge family, but there was four of us kids growing up. And even today, like my brothers and myself, if we know that one of the other guys needs something or needs some help with something, even though we live miles and miles away, we will still do what we possibly can to help out that guy. We do whatever we can to help out our dad. We'll do whatever we can to help out anybody. Because that's the way we are. That's the way we've been trained. That's the way we were brought up. Amen? There's been times when we've helped out absolute strangers, even though it might have cost us something. Why? Because look what God has done in my life. Look what God has done in your life. Amen. It's not just about me. It's not just about you, but it's about being different and about being set apart and helping one another. It's about being what God has called us to be. It's about being the difference. It's about creating change. Because unfortunately, there's so much negativity in our area right now that we need some change in this area. That we need some people that are going to stand up and going to say, this has to stop. Some people that are going to stand in the gap and is going to pray for our area. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our people. People that are going to roll up their sleeves and start doing some work so we can get some stuff done around here. Are you hearing me this morning? It's going to take some people to get serious with God and get connected up with the church, get connected up with God, and realize on who they are in Christ and what they're capable of doing, and be that change. This season is going to be exciting. We're going to see some change. What about you? It's all quiet in here. Everyone thinking? Meditating? Sleeping? What's going on? Get connected. Let's make the decision to have a very strong start this church season. Let's get back on track, man. Let's see what God is going to do with us. Let's see what God wants to take this church. Let's build up our pastors. When they're going through struggles, we need to be here to lift up their arms and that they know that we're here to support them 110%. That they know that no matter what's going on, doesn't matter what's going on in your life, that God is bigger than those situations. Let's be the shining light in our area, amen? Let's create change. Let's do something crazy. Because the devil's going to try and get you off your A game. He's going to whisper lies. He's going to try and tear your family apart, tear your marriage apart, tear your job apart. He's going to try and do it all. He's going to try and mess with you and destroy you. But you know what? God has a plan and a purpose. There's nothing more that the devil wants is to destroy a Christian. There's nothing more that he wants is to skewer your view in your life and just destroy it. But hallelujah, God will supply. God will make a way. All we have to do is have faith and trust in the Lord. We're going to have a strong start. Get back on track. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So from this moment on, we forget about what's happened in the past. We're going to step forward. We're going to roll up our sleeves. We're going to do what God has called us. We're going to follow that call. We're going to have an awesome start. We're going to walk into promises of God that God has set before us. Man, we're going to do what God has called us to do. Lives are going to be changed. People are going to be blessed. This is going to be the year, man. It's going to be fantastic. This conference is going to be awesome. The Faith City Church is going to grow and grow and grow. We have more than enough monies, workers, tools, buildings to do what God has called us to do. We have more, and whoever's connected to Faith City Church is the same thing. They are blessed, amen. How many of you are connected to this church? If you are connected to this church, you are part of the blessing, hallelujah. You're going to receive that as well, amen. Stand on your feet. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Get the worship team to come back. Luke, you can hop up on these drums here, buddy. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him for a second. Everyone in this place. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Well, we've talked about a lot this morning, and I hope you got something out of it. But I'm going to tell you something. is that God has never given up on me or you. And he never will. God will never turn his back on us. God will never leave you out. But we have to make sure that we're doing the work so that we can have that connection open between us and the Father. And so that we can receive the blessings that he has for us. Now, a lot of times we allow things in our lives to really interfere. We have a lot of baggage, a lot of just stuff that this does not need to be in our lives. And we allow it to stay there and fester. And some of us, we've had stuff in our lives for a while. And we've never taken care of it and gotten rid of it. And we will not be able to walk in the fullness of God until we let go. Father God, I just thank you for each person that's here this morning. Now, Lord, I just pray for each person that's watching us online and that's sitting in this room or standing in this room. Father, you see their hearts. You see where they're at. And Lord, I just pray right now you're just going to start and minister to them right now. Just as we sing this chorus, "You Are Stronger," we're just going to sing this over. And guys, I just want you to sing it. Just praise the Lord. Just worship him. And if you've got stuff in your life that you're dealing with, get rid of it. So let's just sing this together here real quick.
You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written. Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You have saved me.
Make that your prayer.
It is written,
Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord. Sing it again. You are stronger, Lord.
You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you.
Come on, sing it again. Come on, church.
You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. It is written.
Christ is risen.
Jesus, you.
Yes, Lord. If you're in this place this morning and you need to get back on track with the Father, never like to close a service without doing this. You need to get back on track with God. You got stuff in your life that needs to go. Today is a great day to surrender it over to Him. God is stronger. He is greater than any situation. We want to have a back on track moment with God. Today is a great day to do that. So if you're in this place this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place this morning, you hear my voice. You're online, you're watching this, you guys can let us know as well. But if you're in this place this morning and you need to get back on track with God, you got to get things in your life straightened out. Come on now, this is very important. You know we're not guaranteed our next breath. There's a lot hanging in the balance this morning. So if you're in this place, this is actually a matter of life and death here this morning. If you're in this place and you need to get back on track with God, you need to get that relationship where it needs to be with the Father. If that's you, raise your hand up. If that is you, you need to make sure you're back on track with the Father. Raise your hand if that's you. And if you're online, you let us know, you send us a message. You want to get back on track with God. You want that fresh commitment. You got stuff in your life that you need to get rid of. Come on now. If that's you, raise your hand. If that's you, if you need to get back on track with God, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you for your hands. Thank you for your hands. Anybody else? Thank you for your hand. Anybody else? You need to get back on track with God. Come on. Don't be afraid. The best thing is going to happen to you today. God's going to transform your life. Come on. Anybody else in this place? Yep, yep. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Anybody else in this place? This is going to be a great transformation. You're going to get back on track with God. You're going to get everything going. You can make your way down here. If that's you, you raise your hand. Should have raised your hand. You get down here. There was hands all over this room. Come on. Come on. No one's going to judge you. Everyone's going to love you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to stand believing with you. Come on now. Anybody else? You need Jesus in your life. You need a touch from God, a fresh touch from God. Come on. Get down here right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got troubles. You got situations in your life that needs to be dealt with. Come on right now. Don't miss this opportunity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, my dear. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? We don't want to miss this opportunity. You got pain. You got some sickness in your body. Get down here. Get down here. You need a touch from the Lord this morning. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's worship, church. Let's just thank Him. Let's just sing that chorus one more time.
You are stronger. You are stronger.
Come on, anybody else? Come on down.
You have saved me. It is written.
Come on.
Christ is risen.
Jesus, you. One more time. Come on.
You are stronger. You are stronger. Sin is broken. You have saved me. Christ is risen.
Jesus, you are Lord.
Wow. Isn't God good? The Father God, we just thank you for what you're doing. Those of you that came up here, you look at me for a second. There's a bunch of things you could have come up here for. But you know what? God's got every single one of them taken care of. All you have to do is just trust in Him. Have faith in God. The Amplified Bible says, have faith in God constantly. You see, it's a lifestyle, guys. This is just not something that you come to church and you just put on your faith a little bit then. But every day of your life, because if you got situations, you got trials, troubles. If you feel that you've been drawn away from God, you see, you need to get back onto Him. That takes faith. Not sometime faith. All the time faith. So no matter what the devil or whatever the situation is saying or doing, you constantly, 100% of the time, put your faith in the Father. He's always there. And He's got your answer. Stretch your hands towards heaven right now, everybody in this room. Oh, He under the robot, she, congregation, start praying. He under the robot, she under the robot, so, Oh, Father God, we just thank you for each person that's up here, Lord, and we thank you that you are bigger than any situation. And Father God, you created us, Lord, to be awesome. You created us to be blessed. You created us to be the head and not the tail, to have more than enough, to have clarity, Father God. Lord, I just pray right now for each person that's up here that came to this altar this morning, that they are going to follow the call of God on their life. The Father God, they're going to get rid of the hurt and the garbage that's in their lives, that they're going to receive what you have for them this morning, Lord. And Father God, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Father God, you have blessed us. You have blessed us. And Father God, we thank you for your blessings upon us, Lord. He under the boshi titi under the bosso to 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 he under the boshi under the bossa ta ta he under the boshi under the oko to 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 he under the boshi under the bossa he under the boshi under the osso to 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 ho he under the ossi titi he under the bosso ko to to he under the bosso he under the boshi titi under the osso to to he under the boshi titi under he under the boshi under oh 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 he under oh oh. Yes, yes, yes. He under the boshi under the boso to 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 rishi under the basa ta ta. Yes, 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 yes. He under the boso to 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 rishi. Oh, si under the boso to 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 to. Woo! Just receive it. Whoa! 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 Just thank him this morning. Let's just thank him this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil, you have been defeated. You are stronger, Lord. Yes. Let's just worship him, church. Come on. He under the robo shiti ti under the robo soto to to ri shi under the robo soto to. He under the robo shi under the robo soto to to ki under the robo shi under the robo soto. He under the robosi and the ramasata. Yes, 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 yes. Ho, ho. Come on, church. He's not done yet. Come on, get in, get in, get in, get it. Come on. He under the robosi and the robosototo. Yes. People are being healed right now. I can feel it. People are being healed right now. Yes. Yes, someone's headache just disappeared. Woo! Stomach pain is going. Yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, we're chosen to go back on track with you, Lord. Yes, come on, church. Let's just stir ourselves up this morning. He under robo shiti under robo sototo. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. He under the robo, she under the robo, so tot. Oh. 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 Yes. Don't you love it when the Holy Spirit shows up? Don't you love it that when he's always there, you just yield over to him? And that you just let him take control? Oh, you see, guys, you can do this by yourselves. When you're going through that tough time, because here's what's going to happen. Everyone listen to me for a second. As soon as you walk out of this door, the devil's going to start attacking again. And he's going to start whispering lies and start saying, you know what, that was all fake what was going on in there. Or you never got touched, that never happened. You tell him he's nothing but a dirty liar, you laugh in his face, and you start stirring yourself up. Amen. Because you know what? We're back on track with the Father now. We're back on where we need to be right now. Well, Pastor Steve, you don't know my situation. What's going on? Laugh at the devil. That's your situation right now. That's what you're doing. The Bible says that you are healed, healthy, and whole. The Scripture says that you are blessed. And the Scripture says you are the head and not the tail. Come on now. You start declaring what Scripture says you are and get into the promises of God and you start reminding the devil. He might remind you of your past. You remind him of what happened to him also, that he's already been defeated. Come on now. You got to remind him that when you're not feeling well, when you can't get out of bed in the morning, devil, you get your hands off me. Body, you do what you're supposed to do. Come on now. When it gets tough, when it gets hard, and when the rubber hits the road, I love it when rubber hits the road because it makes a lot of squealing noise. There's lots of smoke and it's a big show. And because when God's power hits that situation, something's got to give and it's not God. And so there's going to be a lot of squealing, a lot of smoke, a lot of hollering, but that situation's got to go. Amen? Let's just worship him one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.